Thank you for the Antic Barrel, and I'd like to introduce the principal investigators for this study, Dr. Doug Soldat, Shane Griffith, Dr. John Steyer, Dr. Eric Irvin, Dr. Greg Evanuel, and Derek Cataldi at the University of Virginia Tech. This study was conducted by Shane Griffith and Derek Cataldi. It was part of their master's thesis, and I took over as Doug Soldat's field technician in November of 2002 and finished up the last harvest and data analysis. So with biosolids, the biggest problem is disposal and the beneficial reuse of the product. In Madison, the Madison Metropolitan Sewage District has a product that is commercially available called MetroGrow, and that is currently applied to 1,800 of hectares of land per year, which represents about 1% of the total agricultural acreage in the county that Madison sits. So as the population grows and we increase how much waste we produce, there's challenges for finding new disposal sites for our waste. On the sod farm side, the biggest issue is soil removal. Every harvest takes about 1 centimeter worth of soil away from the land, and that represents about 60 to 115 megagrams of soil. And then if we apply biosolids to try and mitigate this, will there be nutrient accumulation in the land? So we have this possible solution of using our biosolids on sod production, and these numbers are national. So nationally, there's about 162,000 hectares of land that is currently in sod production, which represents 2 to 18 teragrams of possible biosolid potential. Our research rate, and this is based on our research rates, and some of our research rates are higher than Wisconsin regulations, so the actual number is probably on the low side of those estimates. So with that in mind, our overall product objective was, can we use biosolids to produce a high-quality sod product that favorably affects the growers' bottom lines so they use it and mitigates environmental impact and will minimize soil removal at harvest? We had two sod producers for our project. One was in Madison, Wisconsin, or just outside Madison, Wisconsin, and the other was in Alexandria, Virginia, and they are represented by the two red dots here. Our overall project design, we tried to put three sod production cycles in 3.5 years. A typical sod production cycle is 20 months. So we sort of manipulated our study to accomplish that goal. The first year, we planted in September of 2009 and then just let run through its 20-month sod production cycle. And it was harvested in May of 2011. The year two box was also planted in 2009 and then was sent through a 12-month sod production where just the first, the very top of the sod was removed. And then that was reapplied with biosolids and then let to go through a second 20-month sod production cycle and harvested in May of 2012. And then year three, we just had two 12-month sod production cycles where, again, at the end of each 12-month cycle, the very top, just the top little amount of sod was removed, biosolids were reapplied, and then that 20-month cycle was from September 2011 through May of 2013. Data was collected basically just during the 20-month sod production cycle. That again allowed us, instead of having to use 5 years to do the study, allowed us to complete three sod production cycles in 3.5 years. Our biosolids producers were the Madison Metropolitan Sewage District and the Alexandria Sanitation Authority in Virginia. This is an example of the biosolids that Madison produced. One was a biosolids cake that was 22% solids and 6% nitrogen. The other was a cake blended with sand and sawdust, which is also known as MetroMix, and that was 83% solids and about 1% total nitrogen. The Alexandria biosolids were both the cake and then a blended product. The cake was 30% solids and about 5% nitrogen, and the cake blended with fines was 67% solids and 1.5% nitrogen. Of note is our scale was meant to mimic what an actual sod producer would use. It wasn't a small plot scale. We used grower equipment from application through harvest, so this is something that sod producers can actually use. Our materials and methods, we had three rates of biosolids for each of the products. We tried to estimate 1, 2, and 4 times the conventional rate of plant available nitrogen for the cake, and 1, 1.5, and 2 times for the mixed product, and that was basically because of the how little nitrogen was in the product and the rate at which it had to be applied. And the typical conventional practice is about 300 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare with 40 kilograms per hectare of potassium and 80 kilograms per hectare of 40 kilograms per hectare of phosphorus and 80 kilograms per hectare of potassium. Sorry. Virginia was similar, except the rates of cake and the blended were the same, with a half rate, a one-time rate, and a 1.5-time rate. The intended numbers are on the left, and then the actual application rates are in parentheses because there was some issues with the actual amount of nitrogen in the product when it was applied. And most of the data that I'll present in the upcoming part of the presentation is from Madison. I had a little bit of Virginia data, but most of what I had was the Madison data. Also, the plots were seeded with Kentucky bluegrass in Wisconsin and 85% tall fescue in Virginia. So this is application. Madison was a back discharge spreader. In Virginia, it was a side discharge spreader. We had fairly uniform results of biosolids application. And then it was incorporated into the top 5 centimeters, and grass was seeded, and the project was begun. Whenever a new management practice is introduced to the sod industry, one critical thing they're looking at is whether or not it increases or reduces the time to harvest. So if we can reduce the time to harvest, they can produce that many more crops, and that will favorably affect their bottom line. And the biggest aspect to this is sod tensile strength. So the sod has to be durable enough to be transported to the end user. If it's not, it's going to fall apart, and it's not going to be a viable product. So we had this custom rack built attached to a strain gauge, and then the strain gauge was attached to a winch so we could tear apart the sod. Underneath each one of the red plates are teeth that hold it together. So that's a before picture, and that's an after picture of the sod pulled apart. And the rubric for this table is at the bottom. Anything over 500 is considered exceptional sod strength, with anything between 300 and 500 newtons is very little sod breakage, so anything over 300 is considered acceptable for transport. And we measured peak strength, so it wasn't an average, it was just the peak strength that it took to tear apart the sod. And while all the sod was below the conventional practice, the overall results were greater than 500 newtons. So even though it didn't compare to the conventional practice, it still was viable for transport in Wisconsin. In Virginia, the numbers are much lower. The treatments were often similar to the conventional practice, but the overall numbers indicated that there was a good deal of sod breakage possible during transport. And the reason for this is the grass mix. Tall fescue does not produce stolons, which bind the sod, so it's directly related to the type of seed used in Virginia. Visual quality is also important at the end user level. When somebody looks at the sod, they want it to look good. They don't want yellow or damaged grass to show up. And this scale is on a 1-9 scale, with 6 being the lowest acceptable sod or turf quality. And in the first year, only the 2 highest rates of cake product produce sod that was acceptable quality. And in years 2 and 3, it held with that with those rates where the 2 and 4 and 1.5 and 2x rates of the mix. So it was only the high rates that produced sod that was of acceptable quality. In Virginia, this was the same, with only the 1 and 1.5 rates of cake being minimally acceptable in the quality or above. Plant available water, often with biosolids because of the high amount of organic matter that comes with them, we see an increase in plant available water and a decrease in bulk density. Here we saw no treatment differences between the control. All of them were greater, but there were no statistical differences. So it did increase it a little bit, but not enough to draw a firm conclusion. And then plant available water is the field capacity subtracted, or then the permanent wilting point subtracted from the field capacity. Field capacity is the water remaining after gravitational drainage, and permanent wilting point is the point at which roots can no longer extract water from the soil. So I mentioned the soil loss and whether or not biosolids can mitigate soil loss. We determined that only the highest rates of cake and mix would mitigate soil loss, and that was basically because of the rates. And the biosolid dry mass is shown there, and that indicates that the more you apply, the less soil is going to be net exported. With regards to nitrogen or nutrient accumulation, we did see a fairly considerable increase in nitrogen in the soil with the rates that produced quality sod. The rate of cake that was at the same level as, or at the same plant available nitrogen rate, did also export nitrogen. So finding a optimal rate is important. Phosphorus was increased in all treatments, although the conventional did export phosphorus. And this is seen in the soil phosphorus. So we took soil samples, and although phosphorus increased in all 3 years in Virginia, it was below the malic 1 threshold of 75 parts per million in all instances. In Wisconsin, and these numbers are a little bit different because this is malic 3, so the malic 3 threshold is 130 to 200 parts per million, and only the conventional practice had rates of phosphorus in the soil that would be considered acceptable, but all rates of biosolids did accumulate phosphorus over the course of the 3 years. So in order to try and make that soil storage equal to zero, we estimated the amounts of plant available nitrogen for each major nutrient that would be provided, and the optimal, or the rate of cake that would balance soil storage and nitrogen was 444 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare, which was inside of our treatment ranges. The phosphorus was only 69 kilograms of plant available nitrogen. So if we apply 444 kilograms of plant available nitrogen, we're going to vastly overapply phosphorus, which was shown to be hold true. And if we apply at a zero soil storage rate for potassium, then we would greatly increase both phosphorus and nitrogen storage because there was very little potassium in the biosolids. So we wanted to determine that optimal rate of biosolids application. We did this with cake because it was the only product that consistently showed quality sod from year one. We had four parameters. One is shown here, visual quality. The other three were color, sod tensile strength, and rooting strength after transplant. And in the first year, the optimal cake rate was calculated to be 1.8 times the conventional rate. But having organic matter and nitrogen that mineralizes over the course of 3 years, what about repeated applications? So that optimal cake rate applied, the 1.8 X, works out to be 425 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare, which is a biosolids application rate of 18.7 megagrams per hectare. After the first year, 15% of those biosolids were removed at harvest, so that leaves 15.9 megagrams of cake remaining, which works out to be 655 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. 12% of that mineralizes the next sod cycle, which represents 78 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare. So if we take that off of the 425 kilograms of the optimal rate, that works out to be 1.4% or 1.4 times the conventional rate. And our data from year two indicates that, or it was very close, it was 1.3 times the rate. So the third year, if we apply that second optimal rate of 1.4 times the plant available nitrogen rate, that is 347 kilograms of plant available nitrogen, and that is an application rate of 15.2 megagrams per hectare. If we again remove the top centimeter after harvest, it works out to 533 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. 12% of that mineralizes, and we have 64 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And then we have what's remaining from year one, which was the 425 kilogram per nitrogen rate, worked out twice, and that 8% of that mineralizes in the third year, and that's 44 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and that works out to 1.1 times the conventional rate, and we saw that exact number in our year three data. So the sod producer's bottom line, the mixed product didn't produce acceptable sod in the first year, so there was no revenue, so that was expensive and poor results, and only the 2x rate was close to the conventional practice as far as income. However, in Virginia, the biosolids products are subsidized for sod producers. In Wisconsin, they aren't subsidized. There are subsidies, but sod producers are not included in those yet. But if we can include those subsidies, then the income from the cake at the 1.5 to 2x rate actually exceeds that of conventional practices. And extrapolating out, if a producer is willing to take the loss on the first year of the mixed product, the quality in years two and three was enough to be sellable, then these subsidies could actually make the mixed product viable. And we saw that the sod loss or the soil loss with the mixed product was significantly less than the conventional practice, and that might be something to look at for those who give subsidies. So the conclusions, the biosolids cake applied at 500 kilograms of plant available nitrogen can replace the use of synthetic fertilizers for sod production, and it even helps that years forward there's the carryover effect. Biosolids mix applied at 500 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare reduces mineral loss compared to the conventional but doesn't eliminate it. Biosolids sustain soil physical properties, but it does accumulate nitrogen and phosphorus. The biosolids residual effect can reduce inputs in years following initial application, and the economics may be favorable for cake applied at 500 kilograms plant for available nitrogen if fertilizer prices rise or if there's government subsidy. And these are the acknowledgments specifically of those who helped with the project and sources of funding. And with that, I can take any questions.